How do you feel about death? Most of us, our first reaction is negative. And the answer to that question probably depends a lot on who's the one dying and when it's happening. I remember when my grandmother grew old and feeble, she'd been through countless bouts of pneumonia. She was suffering day in and day out. It was a consolation when she finally passed away. And knowing that she had had the sacraments and was a good woman, we were, in a sense, relieved at least to let her go. But when my best friend died our first year out of high school from cancer, I didn't know how to feel. You don't expect that. You don't expect to lose somebody early. And yet we are encouraged by Jesus Christ to look forward to the resurrection. And so in the light of the resurrection, how are we supposed to feel as Christians about death? Are we supposed to look forward to it? Be afraid of it? Well, it is natural, firstly, for all of us to rebel against it. I remember reading in Scripture this passage that says, God did not make death, nor does he rejoice in the destruction of the living. You see, when God created Adam and Eve, he didn't create them to die. He created them to live forever. It is within our makeup, it's in our soul to want to live forever. And while God has not changed that long-term plan, we suffer death as a result of sin. And in a sense, brothers and sisters, death should be abhorrent to us. This feeling inside of us that we just don't like it, there's something wrong with it, is true. And it's okay to feel that way. But that cannot be the last word. Because Jesus gives us hope that we have something even better, infinitely better, to look forward to. We know that this existence is simply a preparation for the existence to come. I mean, imagine if you're in school, your teacher gives you a practice test before giving you the real test. Isn't that nice? Always found it helpful. And I usually do better on the test. That's what God has given us. This life is a gift. And simply a preparation, a practice run, if you will. But more than a practice, there is a reality to it. And that's the reality of the people you're sitting right next to right now. The reality that you can affect their salvation either positively or negatively. You can either lead them towards heaven or away from heaven. But brothers and sisters, so many times we are tempted and fall into the temptation to spend more time preparing and provisioning for our lives here on earth than we do in heaven. We can work day in and day out at our job. We can try our best to supply for our family, to pay the mortgage, to put food on the table. But if we're not praying with our family every day, you are starving them. Starving them spiritually. Affecting their eternity. Especially if you are the man of the house, it is your job, your duty, and you will be accountable to God for whether you do that or not. Even young people, our students, our kids who are here today. Are you provisioning? Are you getting ready for your life here on earth? Are you getting ready for your life in heaven? Little things like your obedience to your parents is some of the best preparation for heaven. Because you learn to be obedient to a higher power. And believe me, when you're an adult, that's still a struggle. You see, life and death, brothers and sisters, is in the end simply an act of stewardship. It's recognizing that this life is simply a gift from God to prepare us for the next. That even our death is a gift in the sense that it is given to us as the gateway to something much more. I love this scene in our first reading today from Maccabees. These seven brothers are being put to death because they won't eat pork. And it's not so much about the pork as it is about this king wants them to fall under his rule. And they're saying, no, we're going to stick to our Jewish rules. And thank goodness that's one of the Jewish rules that didn't come over to Catholicism, right? Because can you imagine life without bacon? Or heaven without bacon, for that matter. So they won't eat pork, and so they won't touch it, and they won't put it in their mouth. And so what they're doing is they're going by and systematically cutting off each brother's tongue and hands. And this third or fourth brother comes up. Third one. And he sticks out his tongue and his hands. And he says this. It's beautiful. It was from heaven that I received these, for the sake of his laws that I disdain them. From him I hope to receive them again. I mean, how many of us faced with that same challenge would just say, here you go, take my life, I don't care. But when we have an attitude of gratitude, when we recognize where our gifts come from, all of our time, talent, and treasure, then we know that it's not ours. We know that it's God's to do with as he will. And we know especially this life, it's just temporary. Take it. Each of us is called to use the things that we have received in this world, not at our own discretion, but at God's discretion. Whether it be your body, or your obedience, your income, or your time. It's all God's to do with as he pleases. And too many of us are still stuck in this idea that stewardship is some way to raise more funds or to have more active volunteerism in the church. And it is not. It is part and parcel with the gospel. It is spoken of more times in parables than love in the New Testament. And everybody's very quick to say, well, we worship a God of love. Brothers and sisters, more importantly, we worship a God of stewardship. How you live this life is how you will die, which is how you will spend eternity. And so how are you living this life? As an active steward, stewarding God's gifts? Or as a passive recipient? Or a passive actor in the church? How you live your life is how you will die, which is how you will spend eternity.